from your home. For a healthy dose of, I'm just here to browse the menu with a side of sports, semi-live from the studio. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How are we?
Happily married.
Yeah, dude, forever. That's awesome. Way to go, buddy. Me too.
No, doing all right.
Yeah, go
ahead. It's a week for me.
Okay. Yeah,
a lot of things happening at work.
It's all right. Well, if it's the busiest week of the year.
Probably.
Okay, then next week will be better. Easier. You'll be so much more ready for next week. I tell myself the same thing, too.
Leftovers.
Oh, I feel that one. I feel like leftovers sometime.
Sports.
Hey, sports.
Yeah, sports, dude.
Not much. It's great.
Well, LeBron news is done.
I would say there's some blurbs. There's some
NFL's ramping up all the training camps by yesterday started.
Oh.
Right? What's today? Today's the 28th, by the way. We are recording because of conflicts of
some other time in the week,
schedule and everything else. So.
It feels live to us. You know what I'm saying?
It'll sound kind of live.
It sounds super live to you as well.
So we're recording on a Tuesday afternoon at our usual.
So the weekend, the things that are approaching on this weekend, I don't really know. The things that are,
do we go live last week?
No.
Friday?
Oh, yeah.
We're Friday. Yes. So it's only been Saturday, Sunday, Monday, today's Tuesday.
It's hard to tell. No, like I said, I don't know. It's a short week of
stuff happens.
Sports. It's a small.
Something happened.
For me and you, the training camp opening up.
Yep. Like I said, today or yesterday, but everything by today is all have started. So
no, it starts me like starting to formulate. I got notifications for my fantasy football leagues.
Oh,
right?
Same here. I don't have time for that right now.
It's on my list of things to do this week.
Yep.
Is starting to rank. Rank players and starting
your
to set up
RB 25, but he's worth the one, you know, whatever.
Dude, yeah. It's a season all by itself. One of my favorite non-sport seasons is fantasy football. Yeah.
And
so
sooner or later here next month, we'll be just talking about football.
Because
for
the because the training camp starting kicks into the next talk, which inevitably becomes injuries.
Yeah,
your team, my team, everybody. If you're listening's team, is going to have an injury in the next couple of weeks that's going to affect the entirety of the rest of the season, and you didn't even know it at the time.
It's one quarterback going down. What happens if Jordan Love gets hurt during training camp?
It's
who's your backup?
Well, here's the thing.
You're going to take one of Minnesota's
if
backup?
If somebody's going to get hurt and it's going to be a quarterback, as long as it's not a for-the-year injury, training camp's when you want it to happen. Because that's when you want to develop your second and third-string quarter. Oh, man, it's happened. Yeah. That's when you want to develop your second and third-string quarterback. What you don't honestly want, and it sounds silly, but is an injury to your second-string quarterback. Because he's the guy who's your backup plan. Tyrod Taylor getting hurt for the Green Bay Packers in training camp creates a lot of problems in case the inevitable
Green Bay's
Jordan
calling
Love.
Minnesota with
somebody. Who do you got, Minnesota? Whoever's on your roster could be good
Max
for
Brosmer, Carson
a win
Wentz.
Or two.
Carson
somebody.
Wentz. Wouldn't that be funny if yours Carson Wentz ends up being the starting
there's
quarterback?
There's worse journeymans out there. There's most certainly worse journeyman quarterbacks out there. Minnesota.
J.J. McCarthy?
No, he's not a journeyman yet.
I know.
He's got to survive his rookie contract.
So many rumors. And
he's got to get through 4 years in the NFL. He's got to get through a Johnny Manziel amount of time before he becomes a journeyman.
You could trade him.
You got to make it through, right? Like,
I have no idea what's going to happen. I hope he makes it.
No, I mean, that's just one team, one example. I'm in a bubble. Like, if I wasn't a Cardinals fan / Kyler Murray fan, I'm always rooting for the first round quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what keeps the league.
Who's their first one they got? Carson Beck, right?
They got them in the third round.
Oh, that's right.
The last time the Cardinals took a quarterback in the first round was Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Before that, it was Josh Rosen.
He lasted one year.
And he lasted exactly 1 year before he was traded because they wanted to get Kyler Murray. Tracking back before that, it's been everybody else's broken stuff.
Yeah.
They had... Kurt Warner was...
Yeah, took him to the...
But he wasn't their first-round pick. He was nobody's first-round pick.
Right. I'm just saying.
Carson Palmer, same thing. No, as a Cardinals fan...
That's right.
No, it... Uh, it, you know, as a Cardinals fan.
I'd take Kurt Warner over Christian Ponder any day.
Sure would. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Hall of Famer versus a zero.
Not.
Well, that's where training camp becomes. You start to hear these whispers of this guy really, and I remember very clearly because you and I have been having training camp conversations now going on four years. It's been 4 years. I looked through the archives, man. We are 4 years deep in making these shows. And we were talking about when J.J. McCarthy, just about this time of year, 3 years ago, and it was reports that J.J. McCarthy was really struggling at training camp, grasping the offense. And you said, well, it's still super, super early. He's super, super young. He was injured in college. He needs some time to figure it out.
Well, then that first year, he got injured for the whole season, so that didn't count. And then last year,
he has not changed that profile in 3 years.
This is the year three.
This is now going into year three.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So the last 2 years.
Yep.
So last year was
this is supposed rough. To be J.J. McCarthy's thing. This is supposed to be his year. This is supposed to be what makes sense on their salary cap.
But then they go out and sign Kyler Murray.
But it didn't hurt their salary cap, right? Like it.
No, he's the minimum, what, $3 million, $2
million? If you're the Vikings, getting Kyler Murray didn't really change anything about your team's short or long-term strategy.
Not yet.
You're going to put your best quarterback in there this year. You're not going to.
We'll see.
You have to.
I mean,
there's a lot of jobs at stake with this big
experiment this year.
Mm-hmm.
Really. I mean, either Kyler's going to show off, and then we sign him to some ridiculous contract, and then next year he's horrible. That's my fear.
It's been a while since the Vikings have had any sort of spotlight on them like this. Like, they normally aren't a splash of a team, really, right? Like, maybe I'm just blocking Vikings things out, but they're not trading Randy Moss. Like, not, you know, letting Randy Moss go. They're not normally a team that...
Trading Jonathan Grenard was kind of a big deal for me.
Sure.
You know, because he's an all pro and he was great, but he was asking for a lot of money and we didn't have money this year.
Not this year.
No, not this year. But they had some because they've been signing some people.
And then, you're not going to be surprised if the Vikings make the playoffs for you this year. Does that become a surprise for you or does that?
If they make the playoffs, no.
So what's their range for you as a fan? Their floor, the least, like, in their worst game. Like, let's say you're...
I saw those games last year.
And they finished, so their floor... Their floor for you is 9-8.
Probably.
Less than 9-8, and that's fire the whole operation,
but
right?
No.
You're fine with another developmental year out of Kevin O'Connell was going to figure it out, and J.J. McCarthy's going to figure it out, and maybe Kyler Murray's the answer.
This year is a pivotal year. They either... going to keep Kyler, or Kyler sucks, and we put J.J., and J.J. does two things, and it's either really good, or we're back to the drawing board. There's a lot of things that hinges. I mean, if Kevin O'Connell cannot develop Kyler and or J.J.,
sure,
then you kind of go, maybe he's not as whisperer as you think.
Mm-hmm.
But if either he gets results out of either one of them, yeah, he's fine.
So
because he just got a new 3-year contract last year.
So you're not going to say
I still think he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks or one of the top 10 coaches in the league, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we could... Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean,
I mean, you got McVay.
I still believe that he's the third best coach in the division for the...
Maybe.
And in the
but
NFC
it's still,
North.
The division is still one of the best divisions in football right
now. That's fair. No, that's fair.
We
don't necessarily have to make a top 10 of coaches,
let's do that quick. We can do it quick. Who's your number one quarterback?
Andy Reid, obviously, right? Andy Reid's number one.
I think no.
No? Who do you got above?
I think Sean McVay.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, he was in my top three.
Yeah. Sean McVay, it's too early for the hot Ross. I won't go there.
Nah, I'm good with that. I'm good with both of them in the top 10.
Yeah, I don't know. He hasn't done really great with the Chargers yet.
What he did with Michigan was professional grade. What he's done to upgrade that roster.
Let's trade. We'll take Herbert. You can have JJ back.
Oof.
I'd take that in a heartbeat.
I think both of them are great. I think,
but I don't think they're.
I think Kyle Shanahan.
I
makes
think he's
his
great.
Way into the top 10.
Oh, I almost
top, at least
look,
right.
What he did last year with all that limited talent,
mm-hmm.
that puts him up there.
And I'm gonna, and I can't.
The three that I think are in there are the three teams in that same division.
Sure. Okay.
Mike McDonald.
You think he's top 10 already, and he's not just flash in the pan? Because I was gonna say Mike Vrabel appears in my top 10.
I like
of
Mike
coaches,
Vrabel.
Right?
Yeah, that's top 10.
And then all three of the coaches in the North, that's nine teams.
There's
right
three.
There's
four coaches.
I know Ben. Well, yeah, but I'm not going to give I'm not going to give credit to
LaFleur
as a. I would rather have all of the coaches. I would rather have all of the coaches in the NFC North coaching my team than I would
Matt LaFleur.
Absolutely. I think that the Packers last year winning 10 games. If you substituted one of no, because I mean they ran 13 games off 2 years in a row with Aaron Rodgers, and LaFleur.
But they've been 9-6,
Correct.
Whatever.
No, that's what I think.
The
that,
last 3 years.
That's
isn't
how
it?
Good I think LaFleur is as a coach. I think he's a C+ to B- coach, and I think the team, no matter how good it is put together. No, they would have won a game or two more if they had Ben Johnson instead of Matt LaFleur. I think
who else
the
is
same
out there?
Thing.
For coaches that you would, so you got Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, Jim. Mm-hmm.
Both Jim and John, Sean McVay. I'd take Shanahan. I'd take Mike Vrabel. I would take Nick Sirianni. I would absolutely take Nick Sirianni as the head coach.
He's
of
one of the winningest records of the last 4 years,
and he's got the highest winning percentage of any head coach. In football, he's got a Super Bowl win.
I mean, he's
got
to be doing something right if it's working that way, right?
Been to two Super Bowls at least. He's won one Super Bowl, and he's in his like seventh year in the league. And they've traded wide receivers, defensive and offensive talent all over the place. Yeah, no, he's a top 10 coach in the same way that he was fireable 2 years ago, but he isn't anymore. Yeah, no, he's a top 10.
I mean, because you got to think that team is still relevant. Last year was a little. There was that's one of the reasons why they probably traded AJ Brown because it was kind of toxic.
I don't think there's, at least that I can think of off the top of my head.
It's not a Bill Belichick
any terrible coaches in the NFL that I can see clearly out there.
Cincinnati's.
They've been to a Super Bowl. Yeah, he's coached their team to a Super Bowl.
4 years, 5 years.
Zach Taylor, I believe, is the. Most, I think the Cincinnati Bengals have more pressure on them than any other team in football this year. I kind of, they're a forgotten franchise, right?
Well, because like, it's every other year, but, Joe Burrow's injured.
Joe Burrow is one of the highest paid quarterbacks up for an extension. He'll be the highest paid quarterback in the league. Jamar Chase is the number one, or at least amongst the highest paid. Yeah. T. Higgins is amongst the highest paid. Wide receivers. They traded their first round pick, the 10th pick in the draft this year, to re-sign Dexter Lawrence from the Giants. Trade for him.
That's not a good bet.
They're in a division that should be winnable, right? Like the
How about
Ravens.
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton's a top 10 coach. Oh yeah, yeah. I forget about him because he's now. And you're old enough to appreciate it. At one point, he was a young coach.
Yeah.
He was a young assistant for, like, the Cowboys. And then he became the young head coach for the Saints during Hurricane Katrina. It was a big deal.
And he won one.
And he won a Super Bowl. And now he's kind of, I won't say coasted on his laurels, but at a certain point, he retired and became an analyst. And now he's back coaching the Broncos, and their team has a great efficient offense, and Fields one of the better defenses in football. He's a top 10 coach as well. That's 10
if Bo Nix didn't get hurt, I think he wouldn't run the Super Bowl.
I can roll with that. I can accept that. Their defense was putting up numbers that heretofore had not been seen in a long, long time. Yeah, no, I can see that. In the league, in the NFL, I will say that there are more, which it's weird because there's so little good quarterback play. But there's a lot of great coaching in the NFL. You know, at the head coach level, the worst teams in the league are not necessarily because of coaching.
So I just typed in the top 10 coaches this year, and they have Matt LaFleur at number 6.
The Packers get a lot of street cred, I guess, from the last, at least it's been 2 or 3 years. 2 years ago.
What, D'Amico Ryans?
Texans kind of feel the same way. I feel the same way about the Texans. They're on my overrated list. I feel the same way about the Texans that I do about the Packers as a team. I think they're... I think the analysts like them. I think the analytics, the stats on both of those teams really tell you young quarterback, ready for the next leap. But the Packers, I don't think, have a next leap in them. It would be very surprising to see if they could overtake two teams in their division on the way up. And I feel like the Texans, you know, they CJ Stroud has had one good year, and then it seemed like the last 2 years have just been a almost game with them.
Yeah.
And you know what team we haven't even talked about at all is the Chiefs, right? Like,
yeah, because I think last year was an off year. I mean, with Mahomes getting injured. Now, a lot of people, I mean, if you were to rank top quarterbacks, they would have Mahomes up there. Well, I went this year because you don't know how he's going to come back.
I believe that he's going to be I mean, he was the number one quarterback for almost a decade at this point. He's been in the league, you know, 10 years. And now he's a top four quarterback, you know? Like, if I was trying to win a Super Bowl game, I wouldn't want any other quarterback in the league. If I was trying to make it through an 18-game regular season, there's maybe a couple guys I'd rather have than him.
Yeah.
No, I don't think... And it's easy to say because we haven't even started the season.
Sure, right.
But I don't really see a runaway dominant team. You know, I guess we're
LA Rams, I think, is gonna be the one for the year.
You think so?
Especially if Aaron Donald comes back?
I don't, only because there are at least two other teams in their division that are going to be nearly as good as them. I don't see their schedule in front of me.
Miles Garrett is huge on that defense because they couldn't. That was their downfall last year. They couldn't stop anybody.
That's fair. Jared Verse, the guy they traded to Cleveland, 7.5-8 sacks a year, pretty darn good. Young, under 25 defensive end.
Miles Garrett
end.
Was the sack leader last year at 23 sacks.
Is Reggie White. Garrett is the best defensive front four. Player of a generation. So,
right.
Okay, I mean, I could see the Rams. They are the clear,
I think so,
favorite betting wise. Like, if we were trying to put some money on it,
I would say the Rams. I put Seattle back in there. They really have. I mean, they've gotten better. They drafted a running back that replaces the one that left.
Both of those teams, I think the Patriots were in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, but they didn't look good.
But they are going to be better this year. They traded for a number one wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep,
did they get A.J. Brown finally from the Eagles?
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. I mean, if you put them in, I think I put the Rams top.
Sure.
Seattle number two. I think Broncos are in there.
I was going to say, how far down were you going to dip before you hit an AFC team? Because I could see, in my mind, I still think the Lions are better. I think there's three teams in the NFC better than every team in the NFC that are better than every team in the AFC. I really do believe that the Seahawks, who won the Super Bowl, the Rams, who were one drive away in the NFC Championship. And I believe the Lions are all better than
you're
any...
You're really on the Lions.
I really am.
I know I've converted you and put you into that Dan Campbell, but man, after last year's,
it's
like...
And maybe it's watching too much baseball, but it's when the infrastructure of a franchise is wrong, they'll never get it right. See Cleveland.
Sure.
See
Jets.
See the Jets. See
Miami.
You know... You keep getting that wrong, but once you get the infrastructure in place, you get the right general manager, you get the right scouting department,
right.
Head coach.
I don't know if they can get back to where their glory was 3 years ago.
Sure.
I don't think so.
I mean, they're also the Lions. So history is on your side in making that declaration. They've never been as good as they are now. This is the glory years of the Lions, just like the Packers, right?
Haven't gotten to the Super Bowl.
Just like the Brewers, this is their glory years.
If you get into the NFC Championship, you're being great.
Right. As
a Vikings fan, same. I mean, if we get that far this year, either quarterback.
That's why you were so excited about a first-round quarterback, because having a first-round quarterback on your roster should be your glory years as a franchise.
We have three.
So these are your glory years. Like, you are backed up for glory for a number of years now.
Kyler just be like 4 inches taller.
He never will be. I know. They never
get him some platforms.
Can get him some stilts out there. It'd slow his mobility down, but he at least would be able to throw it over a defensive end at some point or another. No.
So you think? Yeah. Okay. I take that.
Okay.
I mean, I think the NFC North, our division, is probably one of the toughest.
Other than
the West,
You think the NFC Arizona. West between the NFC West and the NFC North, you could field six playoff teams.
Yeah.
You could field six of the, I believe it's eight playoff teams out of that.
Theoretically.
You'd get the NFC South would get one because it's the Buccaneers probably, and the NFC East gets one.
Dallas or Philadelphia.
It gets Dallas
Giants.
And Philadelphia, and that's the entirety of the playoffs.
But the rest of them wild card between wild cards and...
Yeah. No, I mean, that does tell you
that happened
a lot
last year
of,
with... San Francisco, the Rams, and the Seahawks.
I mean, you were a game away from that happening with the NFC North last year, too. Any of those teams in the division would have won one more game. They would have had three playoff teams.
Minnesota could have been there.
I mean, I love saying the worst quarterback performance in the history of NFL football happened last year.
But the best defense, I mean, it's one of the better defenses.
It had to have been because they won nine games.
The last
somehow,
three games
they won. Somehow with the remnants of quarterback
play. We don't need to talk
about
Max Brosmer of a negative yardage.
One day we'll do a documentary on that. There'll be a 30 for 30 documentary on that one. It'll be really four people watching. It'll be awesome.
Do you want to talk about Jalen Carter getting a max contract?
Jalen Carter is defensive tackle for the Eagles.
Yep.
He was first round pick, top five maybe, dominant in college, pretty darn dominant for the Eagles, made the Pro Bowl, did one of the silliest things I've ever seen an NFL player do. I don't know if it was last year or the year previous against the Cowboys on a Monday night game. He spit.
He was the guy who spit,
and it was the coin toss.
Yeah.
Spit during the coin toss on this guy. And was immediately, of course, ejected from the play.
As he should have been.
As well he should have
been. But he's talented.
Incredibly talented. Must be. He's now the highest. Do you have the specs on highest paid defensive tackle in the history of football?
4 year, $152 million, worth up to $160 million, with $106 million guaranteed. Highest paid defensive tackle.
That's $25 million minimum, up to $40 million guarantee of a salary for a guy in his early 20s. That's a ton.
I saw this.
Money,
Cleveland
man.
Brown signed Denzel Ward to a 2-year, $62 million extension. He's the highest paid cornerback.
He learned something from Miles. He learned something from Miles Garrett. Because Miles Garrett, for a couple of years in a row, complained about wanting to be traded, and then got the highest paid defensive end in football. Denzel Ward did the same thing. He had talked about being from a Cleveland team that's just on fire. Now he's the highest paid player at his position. Good on his agent.
Minnesota re-signed Brian O'Neill to a 4-year, $96 million contract.
Your first line of Brian McNeil.
He's all right. He's good, though. I mean, he is.
Two things. Oft injured and okay is okay. I mean, that's how you roll. First of all, that is how the NFL is now. The salary cap in the NFL shot up over the last couple of years, where if you weren't paying attention to salaries...
And it's going
to
go up even more because of the TV deal,
feels like a ton of money to say your starting tackle, who may or may not play 12 games this year, is getting $18 million a year. But that's exactly what the Packers did last year when they signed the guard that they signed from... Oh, was it?
Who?
The Packers. When they signed their guard last year to a big contract.
Oh, yeah.
Same deal. He was a decent starter, but he's getting $18 million a year, and it felt like it was bad money almost instantly. Not saying that's what the Vikings did, but that's what it happens now in the NFL, is if you don't... If you don't nail the scouting, nail the draft, you're going to either have to keep drafting guys... Or you're going to have to settle for paying your guys.
Brian O'Neill is good. I mean, he's good. He's Mr. Reliable. He's been there. Other than a few short games, he wasn't.
Okay.
He was in there. And when with us having our O-line being a mess as it is.
For the last couple of years, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't remember. Yeah.
But he's reliable. So I'm not against that. You got to find somebody.
Correct. You have to spend
the money. Somebody.
And it's most certainly too late in the year.
Sam Darnold, we had somebody and we didn't keep him.
It's most certainly too late in the year to correct any roster errors,
by
the way. I
take Vita Vea any day of the week.
Correct. Oh, yeah. But that's the problem is the defensive tackle for the Buccaneers, Vita Vea, one of the better defensive
nose tackle.
Fits well in most every single defense out there in the league. There isn't a defense, Packers, Vikings included, that wouldn't do great to have him in the middle.
He requested
a trade. The problem is every single team does not have the money to trade for him, so it takes some real creativity to sign a guy like that for every single team. Yeah, your roster.
I'd give them Jordan Addison.
If you were Vita. Oh, I could list you guys on the Packers if they would be interested in a trade for a guy like that. Yeah, for sure. It just doesn't.
Hey, by the way,
what's up? Do we have like
2.5 minutes.
That's it. Yeah. Wow, we got through very little of this. Of this list. Good job.
That is
the goal. Yeah. We talked about that early, but that was our pre-shows.
It's tough. There's not much else going on.
Oh, it turns out if you like to talk, it's not.
How are your Brewers doing?
My Brewers
still the same?
Well, they've played a week's worth of games since we talked last. However, they are 66-40, which is the second best winning percentage in all of baseball.
Right behind the Dodgers.
7-3 over the last 10. They have a 4-game road losing streak, which it happens. They're 18-9 this year when they hit more than 2 home runs. Unfortunately, that's not a lot because they don't hit. They're maybe last in the majors in home runs, despite the runs they are scoring.
Sure.
Their on-base percentage is really good. Their team ERA is still the best in baseball, despite them missing chunks of their ace starting rotation. They've been getting guys, Shane Drohan, Robert Gasser, really stepping up.
And we've been hearing reports that they're trying to maybe hold back Miz for a little bit and just keep him fresh.
Because
they're going to the playoffs, obviously.
They're a near 100% lock to make the playoffs.
Right.
And if you're doing that, you want to go in there with your best players ready to roll. So over the last couple starts, Jacob Mizorowski, their all-star, the most dominant-looking pitcher in baseball. He's a young guy. They don't want him to break his arm off, so they are giving him about 50 to 60, 65 pitches was last week. And they have a great bullpen. They'll figure out those middle innings. That inning or two and a half innings that you'd be getting extra out of Mizorowski is getting filled with guys like D.L. Hall, who else? Aaron Ashby's, Chad Patrick, Bryce Wilson, who mean nothing to most baseball fans, but that is the sort of glue.
30 seconds.
That is holding the Brewers together. Shout out to Andrew Fisher at the AA and AAA level. He's got last year's first round pick for the Brewers. He's got 31 home runs. If he was any other team, he would be in the majors by now, but because the Brewers don't have a spot for him to play regularly, he looks like trade bait. The Brewers got a few guys because next week is the trade deadline. We'll probably talk by then. Everybody, have a great weekend. Bye.